91413DZ, Lloyd Mixed Use Development. This is a return hearing. Our planner is Stacy Monroe. And this is second hearing? Third hearing?
Second.
Second hearing, okay. Following a couple of design advice requests. If there is anyone here who would like to testify, there's a sign-up sheet in the back of the room. Please do sign up. We will have some public testimony.
Okay.
Because this is a return hearing, we have commissioners who are here, I believe, have all participated and have disclosed anything that needs to be disclosed, and I don't recall anything being disclosed. I don't believe there are conflicts, bias, or ex parte contact will be declared. So, Stacy, if you are ready, we will turn it over to you for staff report.
Good evening. As Chair Livingston mentioned, this is the second design review hearing for the Lloyd Center Development, LU16-291413. We're probably all very familiar with the site. This case has also had guidance from the Commission in the form of two DARs, both in 2017. This is the second phase. The first phase occupied the large surface parking lot between the southern proposed building and Holiday Park. So I'm just going to get into it. The commission saw this case on March 15th, and there was feedback provided, some based on staff's recommendation and some other items that came up. And I'm going to briefly summarize the discussion items, and then I'm going to have the applicant actually walk through the revisions, which were provided to you in a reduced packet. So regarding the building design, there was a blending concept that was introduced in the first land use hearing, and the commission felt that it was a bit too complex given the large scale and the number of the buildings, and that the stronger, simpler design at the second DAR was preferred and more contextually responsive. There was a comment that the design was too homogeneous across the buildings, and they needed to be more contextually responsive, and the skin treatment could be a way to do that in a nuanced manner. That the there was a lot of dark brick. There was just one brick color, and it was dark, which was in conflict with the guideline for light colors within Lloyd. So the guidance was a lighter brick color was preferred, but definitely not all white, and that dark could be used in the form of an accent. There was discussion about the residential walk-up units. There, in the image at the bottom left of the screen, the scale or the proportions of window to wall, as well as the wood material, that more glazing was needed, and to also consider other materials besides wood. And there was an item by staff that there wasn't enough pedestrian weather protection provided. And there was a discussion about taking the existing 2-foot recess, I believe, at the storefront and increasing it to 5 feet. And the commission felt that that would provide adequate coverage, and it was it complemented the design in terms of the tapered facade rather than tacking on canopies. So for the southern plazas, which are the two at the top, sorry, this is really horrible. Up here, and then the one here off of the driveway off 15th were the plazas that were discussed. And the general feedback was that all the elements were there. They just needed to be more logical and direct. And specifically for the northern plaza, there were too many objects within the circulation path, and it wasn't very welcoming. So to reconsider the positioning of the elements within the plaza spaces. I think the larger part of the discussion was regarding the northern plaza, which was highlighted as the bells and whistles of the project. It's the pathway and the series of spaces that connect the Sullivan's Gulch neighborhood with the mall and the larger Lloyd district. So the comments provided on this plaza were that it needed to be widened. It was too narrow, and ways to do that included scaling back on the landscaping and removing elements that obstructed the circulation. And those are changes at the ground level. There was also a comment to widen it in terms of the width between the buildings to provide some visibility through the space. And that more order and logic was needed, and it could be calmed down by simplifying the material palette, specifically in the concrete, which would help provide a more seamless space. And another comment regarding the walk-ups, it was lined with walk-up units on both sides, both here and here, making these live-work units removed all of these porch-like elements, which helped increase the width and engage the public space with the adjacent use. And there was also a comment for these residential ground floor units to not be back porches, but to actually be main entrances, again, to help engage and activate that space. So the revisions have been provided to you in the packet. Again, I'll let the applicant walk through those. Staff is supportive of all the revisions, with some caveats. There are some options to be discussed in terms of brick color, as well as wall cladding options for the residential ground floor walk-ups, and the applicant will walk you through those. Staff had requested additional details at the last hearing. They have since been provided, and they've been evaluated and meet the design guidelines. At the prior hearing, BES and Site Development had an outstanding issue with stormwater. They didn't have enough information. They've been provided that information, and they now have support for the project. The only outstanding item for staff, which we have added two conditions of approval. The first one, and they both pertain to this northern plaza. The first one, the areas highlighted are now the live-work units. They now contain canopies all along them. I believe they're maybe 5.5 or 6 feet deep. They're generous canopies that provide a generous amount of coverage for weather protection when you're walking through the plaza. However, there are landscape planters beneath them, and the staff is questioning the viability of the landscaping underneath a canopy. We understand why they're proposed, because when those are residential units, until they convert to live work at some point, they would provide a nice buffer. But we believe there could be some other way to provide that buffer, either through movable planters or something else. So we're recommending to eliminate those three planters that are highlighted above. And the last item is regarding the fountain element design. There are two fountains that are proposed, one at the eastern end, which is more of an at-grade area where you can walk through the fountain, and then the one at the western end provides more of an auditory experience and kind of contributes to the ambience of the space. Staff has concerns with these relating to the one at the eastern end. It's a little concerning that even though it's not intended to be a splash pad, it could easily attract children, and being at that intersection near 16th, probably not the best place for children and that kind of activity to occur. And then regarding the one on the western end, that one, the way it's currently designed, really divides up the space into kind of a private outdoor seating space for the retail and then a pass-through space. And perhaps there's an option that can address the entire space as a whole rather than dividing the space up. So we've added a condition of approval that a type 2 review could allow further time to discuss these items. If the commission feels that you can, if you concur with staff and you feel that you can prescribe changes, we can strike this condition and we can actually prescribe the changes as a condition. It's up to you. So with that, you have a staff report recommending approval pending the brick color options to be discussed and the ground floor residential wall cladding. Staff is recommending approval of the design review as well as the two modifications to the super block walkway width and the bicycle parking width reduction. And again, with two conditions of approval that can be stricken or amended by the commission as desired, to remove the landscape planters in front of the live-work units, fronting the neighborhood passage on the northern building, and to require a type 2 design review to resolve the fountain design elements in the northern pocket park and plaza space.
Thank you.
And that's it for my presentation. Any questions?
Thanks, Stacy. Have you discussed both conditions D and E with the applicant?
We haven't discussed them, but they are aware of them.
Okay.
And they are prepared to discuss them.
Okay. Also, this proposal is vested pre-inclusionary housing.
Correct.
What's the timeline look like?
Correct. So we need to have a decision by, I believe, April 14th or April 16th, in order to allow the time to handle a potential appeal if one is received. The 365-day deadline is June 22nd.
So it is today. It's today.
It's today.
Okay.
And that's the reason why you also had a delayed staff report and a memo that didn't include, there just wasn't enough time. We wanted to make sure that we met our deadlines and were able to accommodate the commission as well.
Got it. Okay. Other questions?
Stacy, can you drill down a little bit on the super block walkway width, please? Excuse me.
Sure. Let me see if I have, let me go back. It's not included in this presentation because it was discussed at the last one. But really quickly, Commissioner Savinar, as a super block, where streets once existed, you're supposed to have a 12-foot wide pedestrian connection through the site. This is an example of one of those walkways. This is the east side of 15th, which is a vacated street. And at some point, it is 12 feet wide, but at some point you have a tree and you have street lights. Wherever those elements occur, it's reduced
less
to less than 12. But it is the same standard that will be applied along the street frontages, which is desired by PBOT and by BDS staff to have this kind of similar treatment of elements along all the frontages, whether they be private or public, given the scale and the size of the site. So staff is supportive because it's a similar condition that occurs along the public rights of way, where you have these intermittent reductions. And then plus some of these areas will likely have, we'll have a grate over it, so you can even walk over them. They're just technically within that 12-foot width. Does that answer your question?
It does.
Okay.
Thank you.
Could you go back to, I think, one of the last ones before the end? That okay, yeah, this one. Is this the waterway you're talking about? Or?
Correct.
And it's actually not. It doesn't show blue, so I'm a little confused. What is it?
There's tiny blue dots. Tiny.
So is it, is there a wall around it or?
No,
it's just a depression?
I'll let the applicant go into detail, but essentially it's just water that comes up out of the ground that can be turned off or on. It can
be
used as a walkway or it can be used to walk through when the water's on. I believe it would be a seasonal thing.
Okay.
And a similar element
would
occur.
It'll be explained further, I see.
Yeah, and a similar idea on the western side, but rather than that being concrete, it'll be set within a crushed stone or decomposed granite, so it's not really an area to occupy other than for seating.
Looks like the pavers go right through there. So.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Let's get started.
Great. We'll turn it over to the applicant.
Thank you. Greetings, commissioners. My name is Dave Audi, 110 Southeast 8th Avenue. With me is
Tommy Solomon with 2 Inc. Studio, 160 Northeast 6th Avenue.
So we'll jump right in. We have six major items to discuss with you today. Let me get that hand off there. First is the brick facades. We brought some options for you to look at different brick colors, and we'll show you renderings, and we have the samples back on the table. The view corridor through the neighborhood passage, some changes that we've made to widen that. The type of ground floor residential use that we have through that neighborhood passage we've revised. We've done extensive changes to the landscape design that Tommy will go through in detail. We have options for the ground floor residential facades that had some comments at the first hearing. And finally, just confirming the weather protection changes that we proposed. We're now showing those in more detail. So first on the brick facades, what we have in the packet that you've received is what was submitted with the first land use hearing and then three options, A, B, and C. Quickly, A is doing two colors of brick, a dark brick on the south building, a light brick on the north building, and the middle building has dark on the west and light on the east. We are, all three options are blending from darker to light as you go south to north. We feel that's appropriate because there is more dark colors in phase one in the oco skin that we have on that scheme, as well as the ground floor. There's some darker masonry. There's also some dark brick precedence in the Lloyd District. The Vellamore is all dark brick. And it's also closer to the gulch, which we feel has a darker tone to it than the lighter masonry up in, towards the buildings. Option B is, rather than going dark brick, we do a medium brick. It's called Executive from Endicott, and then a light brick on the north. And then option C is doing three colors, doing dark on the south, the executive medium tone on the middle building, and the light brick on the north. So really quickly, we have some, just going through those. This is what we proposed before, all dark. Option A, I guess I should use these to describe them. Option A is two colors starting with dark and light. Option B is medium and light. Option C is dark, medium, and light. These are all trying to get back to what I think Commissioner Ballister was trying to get at, was having specific responses to specific parts of the site, given the size and the breadth of these buildings. So some rendering showing you where we were with the first submission. I will also note we have removed the metal blending in the brick, and we have clear distinctions between metal buildings and brick buildings. So here we go with option A on the north side, where you have mostly light or all light brick at this point. Option B would be the same view. Option C is where you start to get the medium executive tone brick next to the light pewter brick. On the south building, this is what was proposed before. Option A is the dark Coal Creek brick. Option B is the medium executive brick, and option C is back to the Coal Creek.
Hey, Dave.
Yep.
As you move through these, would you identify the design team's preference?
Option A is our preferred option.
Thank you.
Along 15th, the private drive, this is what was submitted before. And then here you can see option A with the light in the dark. Option B is the light in the medium. Option C is light, medium, and then dark in the background. Whoops, sorry. Woo, that probably hurt. Wrong button. Dark in the back. Same with option C. Moving on quickly to the view corridor, we have cut both buildings back pretty significantly. The north building, we cut back 11 feet. The middle building, we cut back 2 feet. And now we have a clear view corridor through that space, which makes a big difference when you look at the in the model and through the renderings. Residential typology, we have revised six units that were stoop, walk-up flats. We have revised those to live-work that are at grade and have lofts for bedrooms in them, which has changes the character of that space quite a bit. This is where we'll spend most of our time. So the landscape design, Tommy's going to walk us through all of the changes.
Thanks. This diagram tries to capture a lot of the comments mentioned last time and consolidating them, and we'll go from the top. So visual connection, Dave already mentioned, it was voiced predominantly from the neighborhood committee that having a strong visual connection from 16th to 15th, whether it be a continuous unbroken visual corridor or in a treatment to the landscape planting, that the sense of safety and knowing where you're going is important. There were concerns about the fountain, specifically, was it a landmark? Was it a beacon? Is it both? Clarify the intent of the fountain is what we heard. For the pocket park, there was some general concern that it lacked cohesion and that the mix of materiality might be in conflict, as well as some of the geometry. Neighborhood passage, I think Dave has touched on it a little bit already, but what is the character? I felt like it needed to have more activation on the edges. And it also felt a little too constricted and neighborhood feel that it felt privatized. For the pocket plaza, The north edge, there were comments that it felt inactivated, that the deep planter might actually prevent it from being an active space. And then an overall concern for geometry, that look at ways in which it can be ordered a little better. And here's our response. So piggybacking on Dave's comment about the building adjustments, we've also taken an approach to ensure that any landscape that occurs within that visual corridor is either something you see through from tree standpoint, that you're seeing through trunks of trees as opposed to low branching landscape. For the fountain, you'll see in some perspectives later that this is an in-grade linear water feature that has bubblers in the paving, can be turned on or off, and we see these being sort of like a meet me at the fountain arrival moment that could be seen driving down 16th or as you happen upon it walking down the promenade. Pocket Park, visibility and permeability is something that we heard last time. So this entire edge is actually accessible now. What you see is simply a ground material change. This is a tree grove and crushed stone, linear stone walk, and then an increased width to the neighborhood connector at the crosswalk. For the neighborhood passage, as Dave mentioned, this entire edge is live work, and bringing the paving directly up to the face, still maintaining the walk-up units on the east, and then the plaza. We see this as a crushed stone court with shade trees, that it would be used as similar to the pocket park, that it is a continuous ground plane. You can walk throughout it. I think we heard loud and clear, less prescriptive and more open-ended. So this is a figure that you can walk around, you can walk through, you can meander through it, you can occupy it. And then a comment to the geometry, we've tried to bring things more orthogonal to the building, and any pointiness is more of a material ground change as opposed to an obstruction. This is an axonometric we developed that shows what we submitted last time. So this is a new document that illustrates the same concerns that I just outlined before and our solution. So again, here is the ground level flush water feature where there are bubblers that might be programmed or timed to be of varying height. We don't see this as a highly active aesthetic to the water, that it would be varying ranges of height from a few inches to 18, 24 inches tall. The entire edge here, live work and retail turning the corner, and you can see the plaza space with open shade trees. Here's a circulation diagram that illustrates, just for comparative purposes, our previous submission. You can, I think, highlights the lack of visual connection. Here's the proposed. We're giving hierarchy to that northern edge of the neighborhood passage, allowing the southern edge to be more open-ended, less prescriptive. Same for the pocket park. And you can see we've nearly doubled the width for the passage. This is a viewshed diagram of what we presented last time. You can obviously see that there's a missing component. And now, and the dashed lines are the filtered view that I'm talking about, that you can see through it, even though there may be some things sort of in your way as you march along, and it's largely just tree planting. Here's an illustrative view from 16th, looking north as you round the corner into the pocket park. You can see the flowering tree grove and crushed stone, the fountain beyond, seat wall, and raised planter to the side, and the live-work facades beyond. This is from the crosswalk, and you can see that the fountain is in grade. The dark color is not standing water. It will drain away. It's just simply rendered just to show you kind of what portions of stone would be wet. And you can see the view beyond. So this is the mall beyond and the live work units. A view from 15th looking into the plaza. As mentioned before, this water feature is sort of separated from the other in that it's more contemplative and more for auditory purposes, and being able to sort of sit amongst it rather than adjacent to it.
And then we did a series of renderings that basically show what we had before, and what we're proposing now. So, and using option A as the brick palette. So here's coming across 16th, before and after. You can see the change to the Live Works and to the Pocket Park from above, before and after. Going through the neighborhood passage before and after. Looking back to the north, before and after. And then at the Pocket Plaza on 15th, before and after. Moving on to the south building, across Multnomah. We left the majority of the spaces on the south side alone. They seemed to be pretty much hearing that everybody was okay with those designs. We focused our attention on the Plateau Plaza and the Urban Plain Plaza. And so that's before and after. And I'll let Tommy walk through those changes.
Sure. For the Urban Plain Plaza, I think the take-home message was that it didn't feel baked. And that a lot of the geometry seemed tied to the building geometry, so that I think there was a desire to explore something that divorced those two to some extent, and look at ways in which there is a more direct path to the lobby entrance point. So for the Urban Plain Plaza, here's the lobby door, and the lobby door for the Plateau Plaza. And our proposal for starting with Urban Plain is to simplify the material palette. Before we had tinted concrete with these shifted planes of stone. Here we just simplify it and say, hey, this is the important plaza. It's going to receive stone only. So it's all stone paving where you have tree planting, simply a module change in the stone paving. Still maintaining the seat walls within the planting that sort of lends that sort of push and pull feel of the plaza. And then for the Plateau Plaza, rather than have the ramp sort of married to the stair, we've separated the two, really highlighting the importance of the stair and opening up that courtyard to a direct view and access to the lobby. Again, here's an axon of what we presented last time. And here's the new proposal. So a much more open and unobstructed plaza to the Multnomah view shed. And then a really broad and generous and inviting courtyard along 15th. Circulation diagram from our previous submission. And this is the improved. The circulation around this central space is more broad and open, less constricted. If you're visiting, coming east along Multnomah, you can cut directly across to the lobby entry. And obviously hang a left as you're coming the other direction. And here you're provided an unobstructed access point to the lobby entry door.
We did a few renderings to show the new conditions. This is a new rendering showing the Urban Plain Plaza on Multnomah and showing, you know, the cafe seating can pretty much go anywhere. It's a very flexible space and can be used for a variety of ways. And then the Plateau Plaza showing a much more direct link to the residential entry and letting the stairs really take the primary view and pushing the ramp to the edge. Then looking back at existing renderings to new, this was before on Multnomah, after, and again option A with the brick palette from above, before and after, much simpler. And then at the Plateau Plaza before, you can see that ramp kind of integrated with the stairs and the sort of the planter in the way of seeing where you're going. And now it's been opened up with a simple tree and a simple bench with a back. Moving on to ground floor residential facades. There was a lot of discussion about how these facades should be treated, mainly these portals where there are porches. There was discussion that the doors and windows were felt too punched and not integrated. And there was some discussion about the light fixture and about the color and materials. So we have two options for you. One option is to go with a slightly darker stucco around the edge and then go to all wood on the inside. Both options we're showing have the doors and glass going all the way to the to the soffit, to the ceiling above. And then to go with a little bit lighter, still a cedar, but probably a whitewashed or a stained cedar. And then we have a new light fixture that's a little bit more elegant and upgraded for those entries. Option two is to stick with the light stucco as the frame, and then to go with the gray metal panel that is the same composition aluminum panel that acts as the sort of gasket around the project throughout different spaces, to use that material again. And then in renderings, this is what we had before and after. Option one, option two.
And the team's preference?
Option one. First one's always the preference. Finally, weather protection. I can go quickly through this. I think we already talked about it. The main points of interest were along the neighborhood passage and at the corners on Multnomah, the retail corners. This is after we've added canopies all along here, which I'll talk a little bit about after this, about the conditions of approval. And we've deepened the portals at the retail entries to 5 feet for a lot of protection. So every color on here shows weather protection around the building in one way or another. And then on the south side, the main point of interest was this zone over here where we have pulled that in. And then looking at the renderings before and after, that's sort of the idea. And I think it simplifies it too and helps with the scale. So those six things I think we've covered pretty clearly. There are two conditions of approval we'd like to quickly talk about. One is the condition of approval to remove the planters along the live work. We feel that these are mostly going to be live. I think it'll be a hard stretch to see anybody renting these in a commercial application anytime soon. So we feel it's pretty important to provide that buffer so we don't have shades drawn all day. We also, you know, because we want people walking through here so much, it's going to be, I think some buffer is appropriate. I think the concern was that we were minimizing weather protection by having those planters there and that they might not be able to survive. This is a rendering showing without the planters. So, I mean, we can go either way, but as a design team, we prefer the planters. Here's a rendering showing with and without. This is a pretty quick rendering that we did in an hour, but with and without. And then this is a section of what we're proposing. Pardon me. This is the canopy that we've added that's 7 feet two from the building. It's 11 feet high typically. I mean, it goes up and down a few inches. This is the planter, which is at seat height and sticks out 2 feet four. So it's just under 5 feet of cover for a pedestrian. And it's raised up high enough that we think we can get adequate sunlight in there to get stuff to grow, but low enough that it still feels like a good scale for weather protection for the pedestrian. So we would ask that you waive that condition. And then for the fountains, we have a few precedent images that show our design intent. This is Bleecker Street, I believe.
Beekman Street.
Oh, Beekman Street, sorry, Field operations. I'm obviously didn't get that right. So in New York, this kind of describes the feel of that pocket park that faces Sullivan's Gulch, where it's more a little bit more active. We think the noise of that water hitting the paving will help with the traffic on 16th. We don't see this as a splash pad. It's held at least 20 feet back from the street. So, I mean, there's quite a distance between the paving. And this is what it looks like up close. And this is the other fountain that's in the Pocket Plaza, where it's in crushed stone and is really more of an ambient auditory experience around where you can sit. And we feel that that seating is not privatized for the cafe. That seating belongs to the whole neighborhood. And so we see that separating seating from where you walk is very appropriate, and then it's not divided in two. So we'd ask that you waive that condition as well. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Questions?
We take all the fun away for you? Okay. yeah, will you just show that last slide for a second?
Oh, the last slide? Sure. Almost there.
Oh, a lot of work for
the tree and that one.
You know, it doesn't get much better than that. You know, multi-trunked trees are so much better than a single trunk. They humanize the place. Single work of art that's of the correct scale in the right place is pretty. Where is this?
North Carolina Museum of Art.
Man, that's it.
Let's take a field trip.
That's, that space is just really sweet. That could be so many of our parks. It doesn't have to be bells and whistles. It can just be a green space for people to sit down for a few minutes and have a moment of respite with no bells and whistles. Thank you. That's a great, it's a great image.
No, I don't have a lot of questions, I guess. You answered the fountain thing, which I didn't quite understand. And so it'll be a little surprise when people walk by if it suddenly goes on, but that's just the
way it is.
We'll
have a Vallister motion detector.
Well, I don't live far from here, so good chance I'm going to walk in there. But I'm going to watch out for the fountain. No, my observation is you've answered a lot of the issues we raised at the last DR session. I was just curious. The facades facing directly north and south, are they the same, basically?
Well, that's a complicated answer. There are many facades. But in general, yes, the brick facades are treated in a similar way from a punched opening and proportion standpoint.
Okay, and then the metal facade is on both ends also?
Correct, yeah. And the metal is similar around the building as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you're proposing to keep some of the wood around the ground floor in the north plaza, is that correct?
Yes.
That hasn't been lost, yeah.
No, but we would do a different treatment on the wood to lighten it up. We felt that the way the image, this is the proposed versus the previous, it was a little bit, the contrast was a bit jarring for everybody before, and I think that we felt good about giving it a little bit more of a quieter read.
Can you show the elevation of this? Okay, so there you're showing
it,
when you're showing the door
with a transom. It will vary depending on how tall that, because that porch with the grade, that porch is sometimes door height at 9 feet and sometimes it's up at about 11, so it varies on what we can do with a door.
Is this metal?
That is stucco.
Stucco.
Yes.
So
and then and then
what is the three choices, the stucco.
Yeah. So this is metal, the wrapper.
Inside.
Yeah.
Inside is metal.
Right. So that kind of lip on
the
whole thing is metal, and then that's just a plane of stucco and a plane of wood.
Okay. And the same color as the metal?
Yeah, they're similar. They're similar, yeah. Yeah.
And then, essentially. Yeah.
And then likewise on the option two, it's the lighter stucco that we originally proposed, and then all metal as the backdrop except for the wood doors and windows. We kind of felt like the wood was gave a little something special. But we do have a preference for option one.
Okay. Shall we discuss the different options, I guess?
We have some public testimony. I want to be sure that we have all questions asked and answered, and then we'll move to public testimony. Question I have is for you, Tommy, the planters at the pedestrian passage.
Yes.
That are currently in a condition of approval. Irrigated plants specified that you think have a great chance of success, you know, really how robust are those going to be?
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think undercover, it would be fine if irrigated, and plants can be chosen to meet that part shade requirement. I actually don't have too much concern about them being underneath.
Okay.
And they do face south.
Yeah.
Ish.
But they are going to be irrigated, aren't they?
Correct.
Yeah, I think they have to be. Yeah.
Okay, and Dave, you have asked for condition E to also be removed, which is the follow-up type 2.
Correct.
We'll probably have a little bit more discussion about that, but is your objection primarily to the fact that it is another review, or is there another underlying reason?
No, we're just not sure what we would propose otherwise, because we believe, I mean, we worked really hard on a number of fountain options.
Okay.
And this was the unanimous choice by the design team.
Yeah.
And everything is where it is for a reason.
Yeah,
and
okay.
And we're willing to stand behind those reasons.
Okay, very well.
There were two conditions, were there?
Yeah.
What was one? What was the other one?
The other one was removing these planters right here.
Planters in the passage in the type 2 review. Okay, other questions?
Yeah, page 17 or 21.
Uh-oh. Thanks.
Or 13.
A lot of pages, Ted.
Any of those. It's all the same issue. Or 9.
Oh, I'm going the wrong way. Sorry. Are these the elevations of the south building?
Here you go.
Well, yeah. What's that building?
Is it the the Multnomah Courtyard, the Urban Plain Plaza?
No, it's the... this metal, I'm trying to figure out what the metal building is that we're seeing.
Here?
No.
I'm sorry, Ted, could you hold up the image?
Which page again, Ted? Sorry.
Here, I'll just bring it over.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really easy.
There you go.
Oh, that's
phase one.
That's phase one.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Sorry.
And those are... Is it metal?
It's oco skin. So it's a composite cement plank.
I'm trying to understand the relationship between the... What's on the face of phase two that faces that?
I thought you'd ask that.
You thought somebody smarter than me would ask that.
So here's the fade of oco skin colors on phase one from a light to a dark.
Okay.
And it fades all the way around the building depending on where you are. This is a kind of very torqued axon showing that that facade that faces our phase two project. So you can see it goes from medium to light to medium dark and then dark over facing the gulch. This is a flattened facade. And so our dark portion of brick is probably right here facing this piece here.
And what about the conversation between these two developments?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think... I don't have the site plan. I think the conversation is... let me back up here. Oh, there we go. This is right where you come out of Pasolo into... phase two. Yeah, it's on the original book. It's not in the revised book.
Well, page 5, where you show the
correct
talking about colors, at least we can see what it's facing.
And we have coming right out of here where those maker spaces on either side, we've got the maker spaces on phase two, and then we've got the dark volume facing the dark piece of phase one. So where phase one, this was the longest facade that was relatively flat.
Yes.
It's not flat at all on phase two. It's a series of bays that project towards, so we have courtyards that basically give respite to the long facade from phase one, which was very intentional.
And then there's also a color response that overlays that.
And a color response too, yeah.
Other questions? Okay, if not, we will ask the applicant to step back and we will move to public testimony. DJ Heffernan is here to testify in favor of the proposal. Thank you for coming to testify today, and if you'll begin with your name and address, please.
Thank you, members of the commission. My name is DJ Heffernan, or Daniel Heffernan, but I go by DJ. And I live at 2525 Northeast Halsey Street in Portland. I'm the chair of the Sullivan's Gulch Neighborhood Land Use and Transportation Committee. And I'm here to testify in support of the proposal. I'm only gonna talk about three items. I think the applicant has done a good job of addressing the concerns that we had, but there are a couple of things that I wanted to touch on. One is the facade, the other is the pedestrian connector, and the third thing is the pedestrian environment on 15th. So to the facade, we like the proposed change in color. We're okay with the dark brick that creates the connection between phase one and phase two. I think that makes a lot of sense. And then as far as what happens on the other buildings, A, B, or C, there were some divided opinions within my committee. I personally liked option A, which is the preferred option of the applicant, but some others felt that having a variety of color palette there made some sense. One of the things that I would point out now with the approval that you had today on the skin of the old Sears building and what's across the street on 16th, on the other side of 16th, those are tannish, tan to beige colored buildings. And so the light brick to me seems to make a lot of sense to be in between those. You've already got a lot of that brown in those adjoining properties on the other side of 16th and on the other side of 15th. So I think something light in between would make sense. With the pedestrian walkway and the concerns that we had for visual connectivity, bravo. I think they really did a great job lifting up the landscaping, simplifying that design, removing the planters. I still have a bit of a concern about, even though it's addressed the maze Zanzibar marketplace issue for us and the safety issues for us. I didn't see it reflected in any of the drawings, a wayfinding signage at the beginning of the plaza, particularly as you cross 16th Street, that you know where you're going. But other than that, I think that it's great. We don't have any concerns really about the fountain. I've seen that fountain. In fact, it's a little bit like how the fountain works presently at Holiday Park. So it kind of mirrors at opposite ends, how that works. And then last thing is really not something that you have any control over, but I want to go on the record as saying that we very much would like the mall to consider that when there isn't a need for 60 parking spaces on 16th Street, on 15th Street head in, that they get rid of the four that are where this pedestrian walkway ends and make that a pickup and drop off space for taxi and car share. Because that's how people are gonna get to this theater. They're not gonna drive there in their cars and park there within someplace in the not too distant future. So that was all we had.
Thank you very much for coming to testify today and for addressing all of the points that you addressed last time you were in the room. And I'm glad this seems to be well resolved. Do commissioners have any questions?
Okay, well, thank you. And thanks to the design team for working with us on this. They did a great job.
Kirk, who represents the owner of the mall, is in the room, and I know that he heard your request about those four parking spaces. Just so you know, we did better than put it on the record. Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
If the applicant will come back up. Dave, will you very quickly address plans for wayfinding? That is not being discussed by commission today, but in the interest of full disclosure for the record and the fact that DJ brought that up, will you tell us what the team is thinking?
I think that as a whole, the district needs to have some wayfinding, and the design team's been talking about how to coordinate with the mall and to coordinate with the neighborhood. There's lots of already good wayfinding examples throughout the city, mm-hmm. and I think we'd like to see something similar so that you know which way you're going. So I'm not sure if there's something that needs to be tied to this project specifically, but there is an intent from the design team to make it an easily navigable neighborhood.
Yeah, okay. Okay, great. Thank you very much. Okay. We are going to close the record and have deliberations amongst commissioners. So because this is not our first discussion, I think we can stick largely to the issues that were raised today. Mm-hmm. And I open the floor to whomever would like to speak first and address the revisions that have been made.
Can you leave the list up?
List of, there, that one.
Yeah,
and then
thank
at
you.
The bottom of this, I would add the conditions of approval
yeah.
yes.
at the end.
So I'll go first. B, one. I was just kidding. So, in terms of break, on the break, I appreciate all the changes and different options and I appreciate why you like the one darker option. But I do believe that, given the Lloyd District guidelines on lighter colors, I think the B is more appropriate. The lighter brick, combination of two lighter bricks. I think the view corridor is fantastic. I think I don't have anything to say other than bravo. The view corridor.
Oh, yeah,
The view corridor, the ground floor residential typology, I think it's great. The landscape design, I think it did everything it needed to do. I mean, it's just the simplification of it is great. The landscape design, ground floor residential facade, that's option one for me. I mean, I think the one that you prefer, the lighter one, I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm fine with the weather protection. I think we're there as far as I'm concerned. I'm definitely a yes, and I mean, I think you can figure out a planting scheme for those planters along the underneath the canopy, and you can resolve that. And I like the fountain. I think it's great. I think it's fantastic.
So no need for a follow-up review from your perspective?
I think, yeah, it's a really good combination of elements. I think the simplification in that element, which is there but not there, is great.
Okay, Sam, sounds like you're a yes vote.
I'm a yes vote.
Okay, right on. Thank you very much. Don or Tad?
Really extraordinary improvements to the landscape, and I really appreciate it. As I was serious when I said I hope it didn't take all the fun out of it. But I think they are much better for people to occupy and pass through and pause for a respite and find their way and all of that. You really got in and did it. So I completely appreciate that. I think some of the spaces ended up better, and some feel denuded in some way. So, but I think overall, I think it was really an improvement. I'm the odd man out. I'm sure I like the metal on the porches, just for consistency sake. I don't think it's a great material to come down, to have in a porch. But,
yeah.
But the wood just always seems out of place to me. And I'm in favor of the planters. The live work. Be perfectly honest, I'm really, 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 really struggling with this project. I was a naysayer when you first came in, and I was a naysayer to phase one, but ultimately kind of figured I'd go with it and voted yes, I think. This is really, to be 100% honest, I want you to go forward, but I don't know that I can support the design. Because I just won yes, but this much I still feel it I'm not, I don't mean that everything has to be orthogonal. Certainly there are many places we can all point to where curves and angles provide extraordinary urban experiences, but there's an additional amount of juice to support it. And I just don't feel that the severity of the architecture is, there isn't the reward that one finds in some of those older or other places. So it really is a struggle. I want you to get a yes vote because this is, it's going forward. And if I was a no, or if you got two no's, you got to go back to the drawing board, and that's not really the thing to do. So I've been pretty consistent with my no from the beginning, but we'll see where everybody else is. Because does that make sense? Is that weird?
So you have some flexibility,
yeah.
Perhaps, and
yeah.
We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Okay. Don.
Am I the everybody?
Yeah.
Don, when the applicant was last in the room, you had some concerns about the contextual response of three blocks of architecture that's fairly similar from north to south.
Correct.
And how that was responding to fairly variable conditions surrounding this development. So I'm wondering if you think the proposal today gets there.
Probably a more robust response to the contextual issues. Because they strike me as being very different. The big mass on the south end overlooking Sullivan's Gulch is such a different context to as you move up into particularly the middle block and then the north block, which is right up against the actual Lloyd Center and then a part of Sullivan's Gulch. So I would like to, as I said, more robust response to differentiating those facades and how they interface with the neighborhood and the broader context. But I think the color shift is a little bit token, but it is at least starts to break down the massing a little bit and sort of becomes more contextually sensitive to what's going on, particularly as you go from north to south, and the lighter color as you go up next to Lloyd Center. So I guess I would prefer a B or a C on that one, rather than, I think, just the dark and the light, but more nuanced as you go up. So it would be dark, middle, and then light at the far north end. The North Plaza, I think it's much improved, and it works pretty well. I was happy to see the neighborhood feels pretty positive about it. I think I would remove the conditions. I think the planters actually are better in that context. And they can be moved anyway. I think they're just metal boxes, aren't they? Or are they concrete? I'm not sure. But
we can design them to be disconnected from the building if that's desired.
But having done some live-work type spaces, having planters just gives you a little barrier. Even if it's a workspace, I think that barrier is helpful. So I would get rid of that condition. And what was the other condition?
The other condition was a type 2 review for the fountain.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that's needed either, but I'd say the example you gave is pretty successful. I mean, I'm not sure how it's going to work out in reality, the timing of how it all works, et cetera, but that's up to the management company to figure out anyway.
Don, how do you feel about wood versus metal at the ground floor residential units?
Well, I tended to like the wood before. I just didn't like the wood. It looked like a cardboard cutout, but now it doesn't. So I think the wood just gives some warmth to that area.
Okay.
So I prefer the wood.
Okay. And how do you think the improvements or the revisions to weather protection are playing? Enough canopy, enough overhang?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't mind it before. It was sort of a canopy with some overhang, but I think this kind of gets them there. So
okay.
It works both ways from my standpoint.
So it sounds as though you have some hesitation around the contextual response, but you are likely a yes vote?
I'm likely a yes vote.
Okay, thank you very much.
But as I said, a little bit more robust response would have been appreciated.
Yeah.
I understand
Okay. So as far, just running down the list, my thoughts on the list, the revisions to the colors of the palette are great. I'm okay with A, B, or C. We've got two commissioners who prefer B. So if the design team can find their way forward on B, I know that's an easy sell. But for the commissioners that prefer B, that's Don and Sam, is that a deal breaker?
Is it a deal breaker if we go with A?
If we go with A, which is the team's preference.
It's not a deal breaker.
Okay. So we're going to open that again for a little bit of discussion with the applicant before we make that final decision.
A wasn't as contextual as this one.
Yep. So. Okay. Agreed. The revisions made to the view corridor, from my perspective, are just fantastic. I think that pedestrian passage is really very strong. And in fact, I think the planters add a lot. And having a reassurance from the landscape architect that irrigation and plant specs can make it work. It's south-facing. It seems like a really nice thing in that space. It really humanizes that space and does a lot to address scale. So I really appreciate that they are there. Otherwise, I think the space seems a little bit stark and a little bit hard-edged. And my guess is folks who live in those units are going to end up putting their own planters out. Right. And then that's a thing that needs to be controlled by the management company, because it's got to be same, same, same. And when it's not, when you get a bunch of crappy little terracotta pots, it just all goes sideways. So all in favor of a kind of a one big response there that works well for everyone. The revisions to the ground floor program, the change to live work, are fantastic. And I'm okay with the wood at the ground floor. I think that reads very nicely. And the revisions to the openings, the fact that the doors, the windows are scaled up, that's greatly appreciated. Those spaces read much more clearly now than they did before. Or they are more sophisticated now. I think that those elevations are just generally more sophisticated than they were. The weather protection, it's not a deal breaker for me. It's not my favorite approach to weather protection.
I know someone, if they were here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Jessica left because she had a conflict of interest, but she would definitely speak out in favor of a different strategy were she here, I'm sure. But, you know, it works, and there is an immense amount of canopy around the building. There's definitely adequate weather protection. So that is not anything that will stall out my favorable vote. And I also think that the bubblers, as described today, are pretty. It's a pretty gentle, easy application that no doubt kids are going to be drawn to it. But I am too. So that I think doesn't necessarily require a type 2 follow up. So with that, I think that we are at least a majority yes, and I want to open the record again and talk about the color of the brick. Yes, Stacy. Stacy has something to say.
I'm not sure if it's for discussion, but there was a comment from the neighborhood about wayfinding signage, and if that was something to be addressed within this project, maybe, or I'm not sure what the other avenue would be.
Yeah, right. Okay, so I address, invite commissioners to weigh in. My thinking is that hopefully the neighborhood as a whole, the Lloyd District, is going to find themselves in the position of wanting to move forward with a larger strategy, and that they do that.
I think it should be left to a larger strategy. Little signage of different types and stuff all over the place is going to be a mess.
We don't really know anything about that. You know, either that there is something in the works, or what the timeline might be, should there ever be.
Yeah. Just the question of whether wayfinding devices would be needed if the design was different.
Yeah.
Well, if, yeah.
I mean, that has been the basis of my comments from day one on both number one and number two, that people don't know where they're going, don't know how to get there, and that the designs have created that condition. Journeys are, unknown journeys are fun, but that's where that comes from.
Yeah.
I'm just...
Mm-hmm. The neighborhood will figure that one out pretty fast, of course, but...
They will.
Yeah, I think the signs could end up junking the place up if it's not done extremely well.
Yeah.
it's more of a detriment than it is a positive, I think.
Definitely wouldn't tie it to this. I wouldn't tie it to the project at this point.
No.
I think there's going to be some organic working out of things, and eventually maybe there are signs. But
yeah.
Could be in the sidewalk, I suppose, this way to Lloyd Center or something.
Okay, so Stacy, I think at least a majority of us think it's on the district, not the project. Yeah, thank you. Okay, brick color.
Yeah. Do you want to discuss it, Dave?
You want us to give our pitch?
Yeah, do it.
All right, well, I'll just bring the bricks.
How about if we move to the window? We'll come to you. We're going to leave the microphones for a moment and look at brick color.
So this was what we had originally, which is a manganese iron spot from Endicott. We moved the dark to be Coal Creek, which we've used a number of times. This is what we have on the L.L. Hawkins project. We selected this brick with the client mainly because of its luminescence, and the iron spot really gives it that sort of depth and sort of tactile quality. This is the iron spot version that we thought was the best fit for a medium brick. This is the executive I kept mentioning. It too has a little bit of fleck to it, but it's not nearly as dynamic or as vibrant. And then the pewter is a brick we've also used quite a bit for Mutual Materials, which is a very subtle, beautiful light tone brick that kind of goes between gray and cream based on depending on the light that hits it. And we've used it pretty successfully on a number of projects as well. So we feel very confident about pewter. We just really love the elegance of sort of the calm cream, creamish gray brick with the vibrant, depth of the Coal Creek. And we just feel like the medium Endicott goes a little dead, a little dull. It's not as elegant of a solution, we think. We like contrast.
Another consideration could be, but I know this is opening a different can, and we may not want to go there.
Vote today.
Yeah, it was the original one when they had, in the dark brick, they had some of the metal around a few random windows.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that at the far south end would be an acceptable solution to me, and then if they use this just in the middle, right in far north end. That's not part of what we've been talking about, but it's another way of differentiating those three sections of buildings.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Dave. Will you pull up slides of option A and option B? Let's take spend a few more minutes just looking at the differences between the two.
Option A and B are the same on the on this view. This is from the crosswalk on 16th.
Okay.
Option C. Option A, looking at the south building from Multnomah. Option B. B. And then down to the private drive on 15th, this is previously submitted, option A and B.
You go back.
A and B.
Yeah, so I gotta say my impression is that option A is a stronger response to guidelines. To certain guidelines. Lloyd District, masonry, color, all of that plays out well with option A. Option B might be a slightly more nuanced contextual response.
Which is
different guidelines. Yeah.
I can go either way.
Okay.
At this point. Chef's choice.
Yeah, okay.
Serve me what you want.
You're a B?
I was B, but I mean, the more I look at it, after I looked at the actual material, I hadn't seen it, I can see how the darker brick with the shimmering has it's going to be more interesting than the middle break. What is it? Executive? Executive is called. It's a little dull.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of leaning to A.
Okay.
Well, I'm still leaning towards B. I do agree that the A brick is a much richer material than the B brick, but I still like the differentiation. So.
There still is, though. I mean, can you toggle those two a little bit? For a minute? Because you're only changing that one building, so you still have.
The whole south end would still be the dark brick.
He's showed us that would be option C, where we would do three colors.
Well, option C is three colors?
Right. That's all three kind of working.
I guess
away.
I liked all three, yeah.
Yeah.
So now we're.
Well, this. This
A, B, and C.
This remains dark, right, in all cases?
No. In option B, it goes medium.
Oh, okay. I'd rather.
Let me show you the.
Okay.
Here's all the options.
I was mixed up. I'd like to see three colors.
So right here is all three options, A, B, and C. And so it might be a little hard to see on the screen, but this is all dark. This all dark, all light. And then this is all medium, all light. And this is dark, medium, light.
Okay. So, Don, I think that you are lobbying as a contextual response.
Because I do like some of that dark. The texture of the dark brick. Yeah.
Sam?
I want to vote.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to be sure that we get to the right number of yes votes.
Yes. So, I frankly don't know which one to go with. I mean, I think it's such a big project. I think I still think the lighter color B is still the way to go. I'm not sure that brick necessarily is the one. I mean, it seems like a little dull. I like A for its the darker A brick has so much depth, and I think that might be really important given the scale of the project.
Yeah, and I gotta say, I think that in the darker brick in the south building is a really good response to phase one. So I'm absolutely okay with that. It sounds like it's not a deal breaker for you.
No, that works for me.
If it's not a deal breaker for you, then yeah. I think we're good.
Yeah, okay. So this is going to be dark.
That's definitely dark. The middle building is the middle building as the team prefers, part dark, part light. So light facing the neighborhood, dark facing the mall. Or are both of these volumes the middle tone?
It's the middle tone.
My preference is C, the middle tone, just to get that variation from north to south. But
getting it on A and you're getting it on B, right? I mean, because you have.
Well, this would be dark, this would be middle, and then this would be the light.
Which one's middle? Dave, can you point out on C where the.
These both would be medium executive. These would be Coal Creek. And this one would be pewter.
The light color.
Light, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, from my perspective, you know, so we're talking about the brick. We're talking about the brick explicitly. Mm-hmm. And then there is a lot of metal panel in the mix as well. So I am satisfied that option A is a reasonable resolution between the metal and the brick colors.
I'm okay with that.
I think I'm outvoted, huh?
Which means, is it a deal breaker for you?
No, I prefer C. Again, I'm just talking all about context in this building, so it was stronger to the contextual side.
Yeah. And you don't believe, can you make a case that the Lloyd District guidelines are firmly encouraging of light-colored masonry within the district?
Oh, well, it clearly is. You know,
yeah.
That's the tradition of this particular neighborhood.
Yeah.
But when you go with two of the buildings as dark, you're kind of violating that guideline a little bit.
On the screen is the context across the street.
Yeah, which is pretty much light colored brick. Yeah.
And directly across from this, with option A, would be the pewter, which is the lightest. The only place we'd have the dark would be facing the new facade of the mall, which I actually think having the dark Coal Creek against from that
great.
Very
yeah.
Active facade.
Compositionally, that seems to work well.
And then on the, you know, facing phase one and facing the gulch, which I think is darker tones.
Yeah, gulf. I agree on Sullivan's Gulch for sure. And facing phase one also.
Yeah, okay. Makes sense. So
I guess I just want to point out that this, on option A, this facade is most related to the tan brick of Holiday Park, and that's the light pewter. And then the dark is contrasting very intentionally against the mall, and then the dark on the south building relating to phase one and to the gulch. That was our logic.
Okay. I think we're there on votes. So we are hopefully in a position to close the record and call for both a motion and a second. If any commissioners disagree with that, let me know. And we are going to strike the condition for removal of the planters and strike the condition for the follow-up type 2 review.
Right.
That's my understanding. Yeah. No conditions.
Okay. Great.
So why don't I put a motion together? It's motion to approve the staff report with the elimination of conditions of approval D and E and break option A and would insert one, option one. I think that covers it, right?
The fountain.
Oh.
Option A for the brick.
Didn't we just talk about option A for the brick?
Yeah.
I already mentioned that. So option A for the brick, option one for the insert in the wood insert.
Wood rather than metal.
Well, is that it, right? Yeah, so.
Okay.
I'll second.
Commissioner Savinar?
No.
Commissioner Rodriguez?
Yes.
Commissioner Ballester?
Yes.
Chair Livingston?
Yes. Okay, that is it.
Thank you.
Folks are already packing up their stuff. So no closing comments. Thank you very much for seeing this through very expeditiously.